we turn to our scriptures for this day, let us turn to God in prayer. Holy God, your ascended Son promised the gift of holy power. Send your spirit of revelation and wisdom upon us now, that as your words are read and proclaimed, we may have minds open to your teaching. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson today is Psalm 47. You can follow along on page 518 of the Old Testament section of our Pew Bibles. Let us indeed listen for God's word to us. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is awesome, a great king over all the earth. He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. God is king over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the peoples gather as the people of God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In addition to all of these other celebrations, this is Ascension Sunday, and to that end, our New Testament reading this morning comes from the very end of the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, verses 44 through 53. You may follow along on page 91 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It was noted in the hallway before worship that the choir's anthem for this day is Hallelujah, Amen. I told him I wouldn't take it personally that was selected with regard to my upcoming sabbatical. But given the fullness of this morning, I did ask for some advice from our daughter Morgan about my sermon. Her counsel was, keep it short and to the point. With that, I felt a bit like the young Norman MacLean in A River Runs Through It when he hands a writing assignment to his father, the Reverend MacLean. His father reviews it, marks it up with his editing pencil, hands it back to him to do again, saying, "Again, half as long." Of course, with Morgan, I should have known that she would have said something like that, because brevity is typically her counsel for me anytime I'm saying anything. It is a day of transition here as we end a year of Christian education, as my sabbatical begins, and as we confirm a marvelous class of confirmands. These transitions happen in the midst of a season in which commencement speakers across the country are offering helpful bits of advice, last words, as it were, before a different sort of transition, as graduates head into whatever the next season of their lives will be. While we wait with bated breath to see what Stephen Colbert will say at Wake Forest tomorrow, we've already heard sage counsel from the likes of Tom Brokaw, who reminded High Point graduates that the greatest generation gave you the world that you inherited today, before encouraging them to be the generation that sees a friend or a stranger for who they are and not just for the color of their skin. That's good advice. Meanwhile, Denzel Washington encouraged graduates to put God first in their lives, going on to say, "I pray that you put your slippers way under your bed tonight, so that when you wake up in the morning, you have to get on your knees to reach them. And while you're down there, say thank you." Now that's really good advice. Kanye West's graduation advice was a little more unusual. "I'm sorry" is something that you can use a lot, he told graduates at the Art Institute of Chicago. It gives you an opportunity to give your opinion, to apologize for it, and then give your opinion again. Maybe that's not such good advice, but it does seem very Kanye-esque. I'm sure Taylor Swift was very happy for him. And if she was there, she no doubt let him finish. Then there is Anne Lamott's timeless counsel to graduates of UC Berkeley a few years ago, advice that Courtney reminded me of earlier this week. "You've graduated," she says. "You have nothing left to prove, and besides, that's a fool's game. There are so many great things you can do right now. Write, sing, rest, eat cherries, register voters, and, oh my God, I nearly forgot the most important thing, refuse to wear uncomfortable pants." Well, Jesus had some parting words for his disciples, though I'm pretty sure there was no mention of pants, comfortable or otherwise. But before he left them and ascended into heaven, he did remind them of what he had told them along the way. He spoke of resurrection, of repentance, the promise of forgiveness. But Luke says that Jesus also reminded them of other things that he had said while he was with them. I wonder about which things he chose to remind them. Do you suppose he spoke of his sermon in Nazareth, where he told of good news for the poor and recovery of sight to the blind? Maybe he reminded them of the joyous reunion when the prodigal son returns home, or the woman who found a lost coin and then threw a party in celebration. I wonder if Jesus reminded them about the Good Samaritan and of the importance of being merciful as the Samaritan was. When someone is departing, it is tempting to give advice. When your children go off to school or out with friends, as you are caring for aging parents, anytime someone is departing, advice just comes right to the tip of our tongues. But it's interesting to me that the last word that Jesus shares with his followers is not advice. It's a word of good news. The last word is a word of blessing. And the blessing continues as Jesus is ascending from them. An unending word of good news, a word of divine favor, the blessing of the Almighty. That is the last word that Jesus shares with them. It's not good news if or good news when. It was simply good news, this news of unending divine blessing. This sort of news is in short supply these days. N.T. Wright wrote recently about the subtle decline of such good news in the church. In many churches, he says, the good news has subtly changed into good advice. Here's how to live. Here's how to pray. Here are the techniques to help you be a better Christian, a better person, a better wife or husband. And in particular, here's how to make sure you're on the right track for what happens after death. Take this advice. Say this prayer and you'll be saved. You won't go to hell, you'll go to heaven. Here's how to do it. Well, this is advice, not news. The whole point of advice is to get you to do something in order to get a desired result. Now, there's nothing wrong with good advice. We all need it, but it's not the same thing as news. News is an announcement that something significant has happened. And good news is what Jesus and his first followers were all about. If you think about it, that last word of blessing, of good news, is rather remarkable. Jesus had every reason to do something different. Preacher and teacher Tom Troger reminds us that as Christ was blessing the disciples as he was carried up into heaven, he had cause to be cursing them. They had abandoned him, denied him, run off like scared rabbits, even dismissed his resurrection as an idle tale when the women first reported it. But chastisement and cursing were not what Jesus left with them. Instead, he was blessing them as he departed. And it was a blessing that was to continue to fall upon them throughout their ministries. No wonder the final verses that follow his ascension into heaven picture the disciples returning Christ's gracious act. They worship him and return to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. Blessing begets blessing. The blessing by Christ begets the blessing of Christ. Now, that does not mean that there's nothing for us to do other than to sit around and say, bless you and bless the Lord. Our blessing work keeps us moving. It means that there are meetings to attend, people in the community and the world to serve, meals to fix, people to visit, lessons to prepare. But we have here at the end of Luke a reminder that the foundation of our life and ministry together is not a to-do list. The good news is not now and never has been good advice. The good news is not that when we finally live responsibly and faithfully and have our act together, that then God will finally do something for us. This last word of blessing reminds us that our lives, our ministry together, these things are in response to the God who is with us and for us and who blesses us even in our least blessing-worthy moments. We don't have the first word nor the last. By grace, those belong to God. So, for those who are now or will soon be graduating, for our young people who will be confirmed in just a few moments, and for that matter, for all of us, know that God is for us, not against us. The great power at the center of the universe has a face, and that face is turned towards us in love. By all means, may blessing be the form of our response, the blessing of love for God, love for our neighbors, love for ourselves, the blessing of remembering those who have come before us to make our lives possible, the blessing of saying our prayers and of apologizing and seeking forgiveness when appropriate. If wearing comfortable pants makes all of that easier, then so be it. But when we do these things well, and often we do, let us not mistake them for the last word or for the most important word. At its best, the Christian faith has always been grounded in astonishment at the goodness of the God who is and was and who will be for us and with us. And when we fall short in our grateful response to all of this, and we will fall short, know that our falling short is not the last word either. God has the last word, and that word is good. For this, we give thanks to God. Amen.